Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer. The term freelancer, it's obviously medieval in origin, back to a time when knights pledged fealty to lords, but some took their lances from fiefdom to fiefdom. But no, that is a faux etymology. Sir Walter Scott actually invented the term freelancer in 1820. And you know what? Sir Walter Scott was a famously prodigious freelancer himself. He had to write and write and write to keep his editors at bay. It didn't really work, at least during his lifetime. If only Sir Walter Scott had access to the Freelancer's Bible. Founder and executive director of Freelancers Union, Sarah Horowitz, has seen what works and what doesn't for independent agents in search of assignments. We should also note, if you just heard that underwriting credit for the Freelancers Union, the people who do the credits, the people who do the shows, don't really talk to each other. That could have happened everywhere. But this is the Freelancer's Bible. And Sarah, welcome back to WNYC.
Well, thank you so much. It's all freelancers all the time here on this show.
And if you have questions, or you know what, if you're a freelancing success, you got that one piece of advice you love to give new freelancers, or if you tried freelancing and it didn't work out for you and you want to share your experience, we're at 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Before this book, what resources were out there, like say when you started your career in freelancing, Sarah?
Well, you know, I think what happened before was freelancing was like in a different field. Were you a freelance writer, a freelance graphic designer? Had you just been laid off and you were just doing any kind of gig? It was almost like underground. And where we are now is there really is such a thing as being a freelancer and having needs that are how to market yourself, how to network, that are across the board. You know, sort of to take a page from the gay rights movement, I often think it's we're here, we're queer, get used to it. And this book is really to say, from soup to nuts, there are tried and true things that people can do.
When I think of a freelancer, what they need to be successful, they need to be highly organized and knowledgeable about things like HMOs and the tax code. And sort of, this is probably painting with too broad a brush, but, you know, a lot of things that are antithetical to the spirit of the type of person who wants to freelance, you know, independence and getting away from a bureaucracy. Do you find that that dynamic is actually more true than you care to admit?
Well, you know, what's really interesting about what you said is that the most successful freelancers have a network. And that network is the people who give you advice, the people who you say, you know what, I don't know the first thing about billing or taxes, do you? The people who you say, I have too much work, will you do some of the work? Let me outsource it to you, and vice versa when I'm in a dry spell. So the irony about freelancing is that while you have to do it alone in some ways, you will die if you do not build a robust network. And as it turns out, that is the most important thing in this next economy, is the way that people can be collaborative. So freelancers, ironically, are the most equipped workers to be dealing with this highly networked economy that we're in.
And we, so, yeah, go ahead.
No, no. So yes and no, it's hard, but the whole point is how to learn from seasoned freelancers. That will stand you in good stead.
Well, we have an ad hoc network right here. People calling into 212-433-WNYC. Chris in Westchester. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, go ahead.
I just want to say I've been a full-time musician now for 17 years. I do over 400 gigs a year, which I think almost no musician can do. Generally, most musicians don't do that. The thing is, I do several different music shows, and they're all one of a kind. They can't be duplicated. And I think that is one of the main things that sets me apart from everybody else and allows me to get so much work, where I'm doing 2-3 shows almost every day of the week.
So your advice is be unique and not a commodity.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and furthermore, music is my passion as well as my livelihood. So I give it my all on every gig. And even if it's a low-paying gig, I give it my all. If it's a really high-paying gig, I do a great job no matter what. And always be courteous to the clients. Don't push them and be obnoxious, because I know a lot of musicians tend to do that. I've heard many stories over the years. So, you know, be cool with your clients, be unique, and you'll go a lot farther, is my opinion.
Well, thanks for the call, Chris. So, Sarah, there, Chris is in a creative industry, and, you know, he can be unique. Can everyone do that or take a piece of that advice, no matter what their industry is?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of the things that if we were bringing Chris back and asking him, I bet you he is able to do so many gigs because of word of mouth. And I think that's one of the most important things, is you realize that it really is about being excellent at your craft so that people will spread the word. So it's a different kind of zeitgeist in many ways than the traditional work world where you get an assignment. Mike is going to be excellent. He's going to work at it. He's going to love what he does. That's going to help almost more than anything.
Our number here is 212-433-9692. Were you maybe a freelancer? It didn't work out for you, and there was just some unexpected stumbling block that you wish someone had told you about beforehand? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. Jerry is calling from Montclair, New Jersey. Hello, Jerry. Good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
I was curious. I've been a freelancer my whole life, for 40 years, as a teaching artist and a storyteller. I've had a lot of school contracts canceled in the last year, making a tremendous loss of income. But then the hurricane came Halloween week, and that's you know, Christmas for storytellers. That everybody wants ghost stories. So I lost a lot of jobs, and then somebody told me you can apply for unemployment insurance as a freelancer because of the hurricane. So I was curious to find out if that's true and how to do that.
Sarah, can you alleviate Jerry's nightmare on his street?
Yeah, let me just say that if you go to freelancersunion.org, are starting to put up resources for where people can go to get information. One thing is you can call, and we'll have this up on our website, 888-209-8124, and that will be disaster unemployment help that Governor Cuomo just announced. We'll look into it for New Jersey as well. But it really underscores a larger piece, which is the hardest thing about freelancing is the feast and famine of it all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, unemployment doesn't happen every few years. It happens every few months. People have dry spells all the time. And our economy really hasn't caught up, our government policies, to help freelancers through that period. We think people should be able to put away pre-tax income when they're having the feast part to help them here. We should be having more programs that Governor Cuomo is putting here. But it shows that we have to accept the fact that this is a gig economy and that people are going to have just these kinds of crazy things. Halloween was your time, tax time for accountants. And if something happens during that period of time and you can't do your work, you need to be able not to have to starve. Let me just say, during the recession, we found that 12% of our members had been on food stamps at one time because they were ineligible for unemployment insurance. So, you know, to Jerry's point, we, A, have something now that Governor Cuomo is putting forward, and that's helpful and great. But looking forward, we have to say we're in a new economy, and we're going to start needing to have new solutions that are relevant. And freelancers are going to be driving this next social agenda, showing us what kinds of things we're going to be needing.
Halloween for the storyteller, political convention for the balloon blower-upper, Passover for the matzah maker. These are all the big industry times. Let's go with Norman in the West Village. Hello, Norman.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for this excellent segment. My question has to do with work for hire versus my intellectual property. You know, I remember selling stories to the Seattle Times and to the New York Times, and then a year or so later getting into a letter from them that said, by the way, we want you to surrender all rights to this work in any medium ever created in the universe forever. You know, so first you write the thing, then they pay you a few months later. You have to chase them for it. And now they want to resell it and give you bupkis. How is that fair?
Good question. And Sarah, if you could answer this specifically and then give out resources for people who want to know information about intellectual property.
So let me just say, I think intellectual property is really going to be the political issue, because it is a question of, whereas before freelancers, let's say, could develop content for something and then reuse it, now just almost willy-nilly, companies are saying you cannot do that anymore. And because freelancers up until now really haven't been organized, they've just been on the receiving end of that. And so when, you know, the real answer is that in the short term, you have to start having your contract, try to get that spelled out. But that's not a perfect answer because it's just so difficult mm-hmm. right now. The most important thing that you can do is to clarify, to get legal help to draft that, and to really, again, go back to your network of people in your field to find out what they're doing. There aren't specific resources that you could go to, but you know what? We're going to put something up on our website just to have like the kinds of tips that you can go to, and of course it's in the Freelancer's Bible.
Thanks for the call, Norman. Sarah Horowitz, founder of Freelancers Union. If there's one government policy that you'd like to see adopted that would help the freelancer, maybe help the economy overall, what would it be?
Well, the number one thing that really has to happen is we need to count how many independent workers there are in America. It's a third of the workforce. The Bureau of Labor Statistics really hasn't counted it. So you have these new great companies, like, let's just say, the Freelancers Insurance Company, Airbnb, Etsy. None of them are able to look at the total market of independent workers because the government's not counting. And this is going to be so crucial because this is where the real jobs are. So number one is we got to be counted. We got to see who we are. And then we can start talking about this next social agenda.
And what about the so-called Obamacare, the health care plan? Is that going to affect the freelancer life?
Yes, definitely. I think one of the most important things is that, well, two things. One, in the Obamacare are these new things called health co-ops that will be in states across the country. The Freelancers Union was awarded $340 million to sponsor one in New York, New Jersey, and Oregon, and that will be geared specifically to freelancers as well as our own insurance company. So, again, freelancers, I think, are the avant-garde of this next economy. The next step that we all have to start focusing on are people who earn between 300 and 800% of poverty. And that's sort of what we have to think about is health reform part two. But I think of that as something we call new mutualism, which is we are going to have to start building our own institutions.
Like, well, you know what, Sarah?
Credit unions and things like that.
We do have to end it there with Sarah Horowitz, the founder of Freelancers Union. We have a number of great comments, and I commend everyone to take them to our Facebook page and our webpage. I'm Mike Pesca in for Brian Lehrer, and thanks for being with me today.